accession number 20144, reel 7.
Tom Gore, reel 7.
And apparently the police, the guard room was further down the road. So he still had, actually, he still had my pay book, which they take off you when you're doing field punishment. And I said to him, I said, have you got my field, my pay book, Sergeant? And I remember he said to me, he said, oh, don't carry the bloody things around with me, he said. So I had to go down the guard room and get me pay book. And the Lance Corporals was down there, the police Lance Corporals, and they were mystified how I could have been promoted to Lance Corporal. But it was all the young men, you see, behind me. I was now knocking on, I was 19 and a half, so I was a veteran now. We stayed several nights in the in this farmhouse. I was sold on me Lance Corporal stripe. And we had another service there. The padre arrived. We all went in a barn and had a service. And oddly enough, one of the hymns was Onward Christian Soldiers. I suppose the padre wasn't busy because he never knew nothing to do unless we were in action. So he was going around giving services. The next day, a section up the road found a pig. And they killed it with a view to a pork chop. They always a butcher, but they didn't ask me anything about it. They killed it in somebody's front room. And you never seen such a bloody mess. And before they had a chance to cut it up, we were on the move again. So they never got their pork chop. But Corporal, one of the corporals had the liver of this pig in his tin. And he said, we'll cook a bit of liver when we later on. And I said, I don't like liver. And he opened his tin, and what a bloody mess he had in his pack too. We moved down towards the River Elbe for the night. And then we moved back into the barns. And the commandos went through us. And they had small howitzers or something, like small howitzer guns, artillery pieces with them. And they put one right outside our barn and fired it nearly out the other half of the night. In the morning, we moved down to the river, and there was the, I think they called them ducks, big landing craft on tracks. They went into the water and landed you on the other side. The fronts dropped down and you landed on the other side. We all got in. It was all dark. And they went up a steep flood bank. And all the loose equipment went to the back of the duck, in the well of the duck where we were. It in some of the blocks, and they were, the language was really loud, really strong. And then the crown door, we went down the other side of the bank, and all the equipment flew down to the front of the tank of the duck. And we crossed the river, and they supposed to get out of the river and drop their front and let you out. He couldn't get out of the water. So we climbed it on the top and got it onto the bank. And in front of us was a sheer cliff bank. It's as tall as you could see, with little shrubs growing out of it. So we climbed up there with all our equipment, and it was very laborious. We climbed up and dug in on the top. Stayed the night. The commandos was just out in front of us. And then the next day we turned right and went down into Luneburg to join in the battle. Just as we were going into battle, there was the usual sign there. There must have been about 12, 15 Germans laid out there. Some of them alive, some of them dead. We crossed over the edge, and there was Cameroonians out there laying about in the ferns. Some of them, the usual posture, they sort of used to fall back and rest their head on their packs as if they were asleep. And there was one Lance Corporal exactly like me. But we bashed on, went down in the valley, and some tanks up on the hill fired at a target opposite us on the other bank, other side of the valley. And we had to put our chin straps under our chins because it was nearly lifting the velocity of the shells. Was really cracking our, you know, our steel helmets. We moved on into a barn. Thought we were going to stay the night. Get fell in outside, A Company. Advanced to contact again. Luckily, it was one of the other platoons was going to advance up the road to contact. They went up the road. We followed them. Crack, crack, crack. They were fired on. Killing the Lance Corporal. And wounding the other two behind him. So they really made contact. This is what advance to contact was all about. So 7 platoon went over to the left and of the road. And the other platoon went over to the right. And we put attacking up to the top of the hill. Where the firing was coming from. Rifleman, one of the riflemen in North Section, the Bren gunner, fell to the ground. He had a bullet right through his leg. Went clean through. He returned to us after, funny enough. So we picked up his Bren and went on. And we had most of the suits, the German Marines it was at the top. And they must have been new recruits. They were really scared. We had to pull them out of their trenches and send them back down the road. We went on, spread out and went through a sparse woods. All of a sudden there was a shout behind us. A lid come up off a slit trench and a boy of about 14 was setting up his Spandau machine gun. Going to mow us all down from the back. An officer saved our lives. He shouted and run and kicked the machine gun and dragged the youth out of the thing. He had his revolver. I don't know. I didn't see the end of the incident because we moved on. But I hope he didn't, because he had more guts than all the rest of the other soldiers, this here 14-year-old boy. But he come up from nowhere and we looked around and we couldn't fire at him because all the our troops behind him. We passed on up the road, come to a roadblock. Fired on the Jerrys that was there and they run away. The tanks fired, it was a wooden roadblock. The tanks fired at the roadblock, splitting the lugs, and then pushed it over and come up, went on up the road. We dug in for the night. Dug in for the night on the edge of a woods. When it got dark, I was sent for. I had to take a patrol of three men, two or three, I can't quite remember, to the left down the road, show me on the map, up a road, along the top about some half a mile out, check on some farmhouses to see where they're occupied, and make my way back down into the company lines again. Now, the war was coming to an end. It was obvious the war was coming to an end. When I looked at the map, there was a path going halfway across from where we should go to the other side, to the other road. So we moved up the road in the dark. Thought we heard movement on the corner. We all sneaked up, all reluctant heroes. We reached this here, we eventually got round the corner, reached the path, turned right down the path. I'd warned the section that was on our left in case they sent us passing at their front. I wore the cargo and the sexton. Moving down the path, pitch dark, just bushes about. There was a cough in front of us. Like a human cough. We all froze. I touched him on the shoulder and just to ease him forward. And then something moved out in front. And it was a really great sheep. And there must have been 10 or 12 sheep there in the path. And their cough is just like a human's. We pushed past the sheep and they wouldn't give way for us. We had to push ourselves past. And we finally got to the road and back into the company lines. And I'll preach them up a little bit of a tale that we had come across some sheep. That was true. And one of the houses was occupied by civilians and the other was empty. The next day, we moved on tanks to the outskirts of Hamburg, which was literally flats of pancake Hamburg, not a house showing. But it wasn't for us, we moved on past Hamburg to a farm. And the company commander came around, Major McNeil, and he said, it's just come over the radio that all hostilities will finish, I think it was 8th of May. 5th or 8th of May, I'm not quite sure. And he took out a bottle of wine that he had found somewhere. So we all had a drop of wine in our old bent tin mugs and toasted the victory. And with the same breath, he said to us, get cleaned up. So we cleaned up, dusted ourselves down, put on our bonnets and badges, and cleaned ourselves up in general. It seemed funny not to have your steel helmet on. And we moved off the next day in transport. And we passed the tanks of the guard's armour that we had done so much with. We'd been riding with them for months. And we recognised each other because all the tanks had names in that on. And they give us a cheer of the guard's armour. And we moved on to Kiel, which is virtually flat in Kiel. The war had ceased. The civilians of Kiel, credit to them, they started cleaning up their own town, sweeping the pavements and that. And there was a big army barracks. And the carrier platoons went into the town and rounded up all the people in uniform and put them in the barracks. All roofless barracks, it was, all bombed. And the smartest ones, we had to let go again because they were bus conductors and train drivers. But they were dressed in uniforms. And we put the prisoners to work repairing the buildings. And we stayed in some flats outside. And one of the things I remember, we found a gramophone with a pile of records. And there was only one English record there. And it was, one side was Shenanigan. And the other side was, So You Left Me for the Leader of the Dance Band. Now this record was in big demand. It was played day and night. So somebody broke it in the end. I won't say it was me. When the prisoners sorted out the barracks and put the roof on one of the blocks, we sent them somewhere else and moved into the block. And the old battalion was together again. Then we moved to the Russian British frontier at Wismar on the Baltic. And I was the last ones to take the guard off there before we give it back to the Russians. It was in the Russian zone. Then we did our guard duties on the frontiers and the battalion gradually broke up in a place called Swazenbeck. And I got posted to the Buckinghamshire Battalion. So when's my war story?
Did you take part in the occupation of Germany?
Yes. I stayed in the army till 1947. And the battalion broke up, and I went to the Buckinghamshire Battalion, the 1st Buckinghamshire Battalion, in Carmine on outside Cologne. We moved back to Belgium.
What was it like occupying Germany near Cologne?
It was full of displaced persons. Perhaps I should have said in my mouth a bit more. Towards the end of the war, there was loads of civilians coming and going. Most of them were coming away from the Russian front. Loads of them. And we were picking out anything in uniform. And of course, the captain had taken them prisoner. They were all trying to get back. And then we had several duties. One of the duties, I remember, we surrounded a big barracks full of displaced persons. And they had the searchlights and all there too. And then the special purpose troops or whatever it was went in and sorted them out and for their passports and that sort of thing.
Why did you have to do that?
They were all displaced persons in these barracks, you see. And they went in to, there was a special force to sort out the Nazis, sympathisers from the others or something like that. And they went in and sorted them out, and we just put the guards around the barracks and that sort of thing.
How were the DPs behaving?
They were very short of everything. Very short of everything. And Polish. A lot of Polish. We ended up in where? I can't think of the town now. And there was Russians and all there, and we sorted them all out and sent the displaced persons and that back.
And you were with a battalion of the Royal Berkshires?
No, the Buckinghamshire Battalion.
Of the
I'll stay with the Cameronians until they broke up. In, it would be 45, 46, they broke up in the middle of 46. And then we used to do the frontier guards, and as we come back to the battalion, most of them have been gone, been put on draft to different battalions. So the Cameronians broke up, you see. And then I was sent to the 1st Battalion, the 1st Buckinghamshire Battalion. There was only one battalion of Buckinghamshires. And we went back down to Belgium to supervise the disbandment of a Jewish brigade that was coming up from Italy to fight in northern Germany. But the war ended. So they disbanded them down in Belgium. Of course, Jews up in Germany wouldn't have worked out, wouldn't it? And then the Buckinghamshire Battalion broke up. So I sent the 1st Ux and Bucks Battalion. And they were formed in what they called 13 Brigade at full strength with all debomb numbers low, or high rather. Mine was 54 and started at 1. And the trouble was down in Trieste and Polo, down in northern Italy, and we got sent down to there to sort out the Yugoslavs, the Croats, and the Italians. They were falling out over the disputed ports down there. And of course we were a pig in the middle.
Did you see any trouble there?
Not a lot of actual trouble. We used to do the frontier guards and check the people in and out. And if they couldn't answer, probably just send for the civilian police. And then we pulled out of there by assault craft, landing craft, Navy landing craft. We handed that back to the Yugoslavs, Pola. Pulled out of there in an assault craft to Trieste, and then really come back to Germany, to Lüneburg. And from there, I got demobbed.
How do you feel now about having served in the army in the Second World War?
We've discussed this a lot with me and my friends, and I don't think we would have missed it, really. But it took a great chunk out of your life, four and three quarter months out of your life. which was your prime part of your life, actually. But conditions had changed so much in those 4 years. So,
do you have any after effects of having served? Any psychological effects?
Not psychological, I don't think. The way I'm talking, you may think so, but I don't think I have, no. I got a scar on my arm where I was wounded, of course. And a scar on my lip where I was wounded. I was wounded twice, actually.
What was the second one?
The second wound was by Mr. Young. You remember I told you about Mr. Young? And that was the wound I got on my lip. But it wasn't so bad. My lip just swole up, so I carried on. But they sent home a telegram to say I'd been wounded and remained at the front, which was very worrying for them.